You're listening to coverage from the 2008 Cattle Industry Convention and Trade Show.
Okay, I think we pretty well have got everybody settled in here, hopefully, so we're going to take off with this session. Make sure you're in the right session. This is the Creating Value session. I think you're going to find this format rather interesting. We'll do a little housekeeping before we interview our panel members or start the process. But to kind of introduce this topic, I think it certainly goes without saying in the cattle industry, there are a tremendous number of things going on in this industry. There are tremendous challenges. And I can remember a number of years ago in a former life and career when we'd go out and we'd put a lot of presentations together and focus on the whole area of cutting costs. Well, obviously, cost matters particularly important. And there were some excellent sessions earlier today on managing costs. There'll be others during the course of the NCBA conference. But I remember a cow-calf producer coming up in one time and said, I appreciate what you guys are talking about in cutting costs. But he said, have you ever thought about talking about the opposite side of the equation? And that is, how do we find ways to add value? I think that's a tremendous subject because I will contend in the cattle industry and the cow-calf industry specifically. So we'll hope that we get the little deal corrected here. But the point was made by a cow-calf producer is you need to find ways of talking about added value. And I think there are some things going on in the cattle industry right now, folks, where there's that opportunity. We're going to zero in on about 7 or 8 or 9 different areas. And then we're going to zero in on any of the areas that you want to talk about or bring questions up relative to. So with the starting part here, before we get to logistics of how this is going to work too, it's going to be a little different than most cattlemen's colleges that you attend. Most cattlemen's colleges are presentations on a wide variety of subjects. This is going to be very extemporaneous. It's going to be responding to questions, the panel members responding to questions either posed, a few questions that we jotted down, or more importantly, questions that you're going to jot down. So in each of you, as you were coming in, should have received a little card. Doesn't have the word on there to ask questions or whatever, but this little card is to ask questions. Write any type of question you want. As the conversations go along, Valerie Schofield, a college student in Missouri, will be collecting these. She'll work down the center aisle, and Valerie will pick those up from you. So jot them down. We will read them off. And have our panel members respond to them. So that's kind of the format. Just to give you a little background of the folks that will be commenting, and I should introduce myself here before we get further along too. I am Larry Cora. I'm with the Certified Angus Beef Program. I am Vice President in charge of the supply or production side of that company. So anything relates to that, welcome the questions there. But more importantly, the folks that will be responding to your questions. Introduce the first of those is Les Callahan. Les is the owner and founder of Crossroad Cattle Company in Austin, Texas. I first became familiar with this group in the last couple of years with the things they're doing. They're doing an outstanding job of managing cattle in that part of the country, the Southern Great Plains. Specifically, it's an order buying and cattle trading operation that specializes in trading yearlings and calf crops direct from the producer across the United States. Les has got a background in a wide variety of things, whether it's some of the things producers are doing and how they can be marketed. I think you'll enjoy his insight, and he represents that part of the country very nicely. Now, to go to the Pacific Northwest, Bob Harrell is with the Harrell Herford operation located in eastern Oregon, specifically at Baker City. His family operation consists of 300 registered Herford cows, 400 commercial cows, 800 head feedlot. He serves on the management team for the Country Natural Beef Program, a program that has really grown with a lot of success in in that part of the country with, and working with their retail distributor throughout the United States. It's a unique marketing co-op, and I'm sure you'll enjoy learning about that. But Bob has experiences in a variety of things, all the way from cow-calf production on the seed stock side. I know he's had some experiences with the certified Hereford program as well. And so we welcome him to the panel as well. So I need to have you guys, Les, you make sure you wave to him. Bob, likewise. And the last is a face that, and a figure here at NCBA that those of you who attend regularly know, Mike John and his background. Mike has given a lot of his time. We're fortunate to have people that provide his level of leadership in the cattle industry. He has been president of the Missouri Cattlemen's Association, president of the National Cattlemen's Beef Association. Mike, likewise, great to have you as part of the panel. Beside that, located in Missouri, he is director of the MFA Health Track Beef Alliance, a feeder cattle source and process verification program in Columbia, Missouri. He's vice president of the John Ranch, a commercial cow-calf operation where they do a lot of retained ownership. Excellent background in a lot of areas, and certainly his 10 years NCBA president exposed him to a lot of things. So with that, without any further ado, that's your panel members, and with your questions and a few that we're going to start it off on, we're going to start the discussion today. I want to cover a wide area, because if you leave this, our goal is we want at least each of you to leave with one or two ideas that you can walk home and implement, and so we're going to walk you through a series. The very first question I'm going to pose to this panel is, in the industry, we hear an awful lot about information being provided on cattle that has value. And so question number one to them is going to be, what specific information can a cow-calf producer, a stocker operator, or even if they wish, a feedlot operator provide on cattle that will add value? And we'd like each of them to respond, picking areas that they're comfortable with. And so, Les, I'll pick on you on the end. You're on the end, and so you get to start. Respond to areas that you think have value in terms of information that these folks can provide.
In our part of the country, one of the things that's really moving forward, of course, is the source and age verification and the documentation that goes along with it. I come from a different background than these boys. I'm more commodity-oriented. The range goes from as simple as what your vaccination program is, do you have a vaccination program, your implant program, your genetics. In my field, it's not so much to get down to the type of bulls, but where you source your bulls, where you source your cows. You know, it's just, if anything, it comes down to information overload. Too much information is always better than not enough information. And I think one of the things we have to get into the habit of is not protecting what we do and sharing it across the industry.
Bob?
Like I say, I'm from a little bit different background. I'm a registered breeder, but also have commercial cows and then involved in a branded beef program. So I take it back, I guess, a step farther back to the genetic sides, and we kind of try and target or look at what is your specific target down the road. What branded beef program are you involved with? A lot of our customers are moving away from the commodity business and moving into a branded program. So we ask, what genetics are you using, or what are you targeting? What specific bulls or EPDs do we need to be looking at? Then we need to keep track of the birth records for age verification. If you're going to do a PVP program, you know, also look at your genetic source. And then what we like is a good health protocol. We are in partnership with Pfizer on our particular operation. We're in their program. We do different weaning protocols, I should say, in our operation. The Country Natural Beef program that Larry mentioned is an all-natural program, and it's a never-ever program. We can't treat those cattle if we want them to stay in the program, so we look at other things that as weaning practices, whether they're on pasture, whether they're fence line weaning practices. We do everything we can to keep those cattle healthy. And then anything, other information that our customers might have as far as feedlot performance, efficiency, rate of gain, past performance, anything that we can pass on is helpful.
Mike?
Well, we've been at this health track thing since 2000 and have probably collected data on about 300,000 feeder cattle. And the way we collect data and the way we do it, we can probably collect anything that you want. I mean, we can store that data. The biggest problem that we've had, and probably the biggest disappointment I've had, is because of the way cattle move in our part of the country and critical mass issues, very seldom ever get either asked for that or up until just recently haven't really had a process for forwarding that information. So I think before you get wrapped up in what data that you're collecting and what changes you have to make for your operation, I think there's there are a lot of choices you can make from a record-keeping standpoint that help you in your internal operation that are a starting point for your external and added market operation. And I realize this is a little bit disjointed, but I can tell you that in our market area, which is in Missouri and part of Kansas and Iowa and Illinois and Arkansas, I consider it a massive step forward when our producers tag their calves, actually know the day the calf was born, and then weigh those calves at weaning so they've got a way of measuring their production. So in this conversation, to start with source and age verification and shot records and lot numbers and natural and all that kind of thing, that's all fine and good, but I know that there are producers out there that haven't even started with the basics. So I think that because of the high cost and the things that are going on, you've got to look at your operation from a cost standpoint and figure out what's going to keep you in business in your region and then determine who your market is, and then they'll let you know what information you need.
With that, let's burrow into the specifics of that, and let's take a component, and I think each of you are doing some things in that area. We hear a lot about age verification. I mean, it sounds fairly simple, but it can, you know, what's the first day of calving or whatever, but there's a little more to it, and I think, Mike, your point of the fact that you need to, if you're going to do that, you also need to be thinking about the program as to how you're going to market the calves and where it's going to fit, because I hear a lot of frustration sometimes about that in other programs. Let's take them one at a time. You guys each covered a number of areas. Let's start with age verification. That means what, and what do they have to provide in the way of documentation?
I'm going to go first.
Please.
Age verification means that you can either identify the birth date of an individual animal or that you can identify the birth date of the first calf born in this group of calves. And that is a huge oversimplification, because in this process of determining all of that, you have to have records in place. You have to be evaluated by a third-party organization. You can't make these claims on your own. For the beef export requirements for the countries that are demanding this kind of information, which is basically right now, which is just Japan. So if you want that to meet those BEV requirements, it has to be either in a QSA, which is a Qualified Systems Assessment, or a PVP, which is a Process Verified Program. So just because you keep the records, if you don't go through the process of having somebody come out and go through the evaluation with you and make you a certified supplier and you jump through all those hoops, that's how you age verify animals. And again, if you have individual birth records, that's fine and that's the easiest format. But if you don't, then you have to not only show how you determine the first birth date and what record-keeping system you use to capture that first birth date, but then you have to be able to identify what you do with purchased calves, how you keep them separate, if you have separate calving seasons, how you keep those herds separate. I mean, it's not that simple. But again, it's not based on somebody trying to be a pain in the neck. It's based on meeting the beef export verification requirements for the reason that we have age verification.
Les or Bob, you want to add to that? Mike, that's great points. I think it sounds so simple. Well, shoot, I can record first calf came February 15th and last calf came whatever. It's not that simple. There's a lot more to it. There's some dollars here to glean, but each program is a little different. Bob, you want to comment on, I think you're doing some age verification with the Country Natural Program, correct?
That's correct. Two programs that I'm involved with. One is Northwest Premium Genetic Partners, which is a partnership between Thomas Angus Ranch, Harold Herb Ranch, and Beef Northwest. And one of the premiums, if you sell your cattle to Beef Northwest, that you can receive, and it's a $25 premium, is age source those cattle. It's sometimes harder than we say it is, but the thing is the value is there. The cost of doing record keeping and keeping those records for a period of 3 years is a fairly simple process for receiving that $25 value. As we talk about value, you know, a lot of things that we'll talk about here today, they've probably been stated in a magazine or people have already said them, and we're going to reiterate a lot of these things. But the thing that we add value to, a lot of these things are incremental. If we're here today to look for a silver bullet, I don't think that's going to happen. But we've got to remember there's probably 10 or 15 things that we can do to add value that are incremental. And as we add all those dollar figures up, we can make profit on our cattle.
Les, you want to comment further? Because you handle both cattle that also go through yearling programs and have a unique part that sometimes tracking this age thing, it's one part the cow-calf, but then they got to go through what likely will become a longer program in terms of days as grain prices where they're at. Thoughts in terms of information that has to start at the cow-calf level, and then how do we keep track of it through a yearling program?
Well, I mean, I'm going to come at it from, once again, critical mass. The majority of the people probably in this room today are going to have a hard time accessing many of these programs. And I know the majority of the people across the United States have a hard time getting to the critical mass to make any of these programs work. I'm all for the bulk of the programs, and they kind of threw me up here because I'm kind of the contradictory side because I trade so many of the commodity-oriented cattle. We ask y'all all the time to do the incremental things that we're talking about to pick up the additional dollars. But once again, I think the thing that everybody needs to be aware of is a critical mass statement that Mike made earlier. From a critical mass standpoint, if you don't have a load or loads of cattle, it's very hard to access any of these programs. Somebody like me that'll trade several hundred thousand yearlings a year, going from the cow-calf operation, selling them into somebody that the yearling operation is going to become more critical. The higher corn goes, the more we're going to have to lead cattle outside. Then you have not only the individual like yourselves that is doing all this work, you have to be able to market to a yearling operator that is willing to accept that work, pay you for it, and in turn get paid for keeping track of it. And that's where the breakdown in the system is in tremendous numbers of cattle in our industry. Like Mike said, he's got data on 300,000 cattle, but we had a conversation earlier today that basically said very few times does he have a feed yard after buying those cattle that call you back and want a lot of that critical information. So from my perspective, it all comes back to profitability, and all these little things incrementally that you do add to profitability, but then you have to do the research to find the person that's going to pay you for that. And I think that's something we have to be cognizant of, because for what I do, I ask people like you every day of the week to do more and to do more, and it's harder and harder for me to actually find somebody that's willing to give you the $25 a head that we were just talking about up here. And so my response in that deal is don't do the least you can, but before you sink a lot of money into what you're doing, make sure that somebody's going to pay you for it. And I know that's probably the opposite of what anybody's ever told you, but from my standpoint and from the amount of cattle that we trade, we need to find people like Bob that are willing to pay us to do what we're asking you to do.
Can I clarify something?
Mike, yes, please.
I don't want to give you the impression that we don't have people asking for data. That's absolutely untrue.
Correct.
I'd say it's almost 100% now. What I'm saying is when you decide what information you're going to keep, and you can keep unbelievable amounts of information, don't go to a lot of trouble for a particular item if it doesn't have value. But age, certainly, sourcing age, that's a no-brainer today.
Okay, that's one important area that I think certainly gotten a lot of play in the press is the whole age verification. Let's take another one that is not as new. It's been around for goodness 40, 50 years, and that is the whole area of the concept of health management, preconditioning, papers, documentation. And yet I think this has changed in the last few years, and some of the folks here in the audience and some of you in the panel here have done some things to make this work. Let's talk about health records, the kind that they can possibly keep, what do they have to keep, and Mike, I know with the MFA program, that's a big part of what you guys do, but the others as well. I'll start again with you in terms of talking about health records and things that people can do and make it work for them.
Well, I have always thought with our program that the primary advantage to being in a preconditioning program like ours, and again, we're a VAC 45, a complete VAC 45 program with a standardized nutrition component, our goal has always been to get cow-calf producers to keep those calves at home, wean them at home, put that extra weight on at home, and add value to their operation through saving a step in that process. So when we go out and talk about what we accomplish at HealthTrack, we want to make sure that at that most efficient stage where there isn't any transportation, there isn't any commingling, there isn't any near of the outside stresses that's typical with a commingle situation on ball and calves, that we feel like we have very efficiently measured what, I mean, I've got 270,000 head of animals in a database that I know how many of them got sick, what they got sick of, how they were vaccinated, when they were vaccinated. I mean, and I can stand right here and tell you that if you follow our protocol, your risk of those animals getting sick in that first 45 days is less than 2%. The risk of one of those animals dying is less than 0.1%. So I can tell you, based on this standard protocol, what your risk is as a cow-calf producer for adding that value at your operation. And as all of our input costs get higher, we're not going to be able to keep doing the same things we've been doing, and we can't keep selling those little calves and selling them at an X dollar per head ratio and still being able to cover the cost of her mama. So I think that's been our whole direction. As we started with a VAC 45 health program, we've concentrated on a VAC 45 health program, and I think we know more about that now than as much about that as anybody.
And I think it probably learned to appreciate the tremendous value it has to those producers and the industry in general.
Yes, sir.
Bob, I think in your program as well, you also have a health program in both programs that you're involved with. Comment further in terms of the kind of records need to be kept and documentation necessary?
Well, I would say most of the records.